Well, my friends, welcome back to the Wayfinders Church podcast. We're jumping right in with special guest Terry Barker all over again, back on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So last time that we talked, we kind of did this overview of basically your understanding of God's mission and then how it led you into business from being a career missionary. And when we got done, there was so much more to that conversation that we had that we were like, oh, this is too good. We should let people in on this part of it, which is a little bit more of the nitty gritty of listening to God in the process. And so let's just jump kind of right back in. And let's specifically open up that transition time period and kind of what you feel like internally in your soul was going on to give us that picture.
Okay. Well, last time we talked about how God had moved us from being full-time in ministry, either pastoring or as missionaries, and through a period of 4 or 5 years, transitioned us into owning a business. And there were a lot of questions in that transition period. Why a business? Why do we need to do that? What's your plan, Lord, for us? What exactly does this look like? And how is this missional? Those were all questions in my head all the time. How is this somehow missional? A little bit of a backstop to this is that we were helping a group of churches that meet in homes, house churches in Colorado. And Colorado, Denver area is real nice. We liked it there. It's pretty. Diane was having a lot of issues with breathing. And so we couldn't understand, you know, okay, God, if you've got us here, why these issues? And it was because that wasn't where he had for us. He had a different location for us planned out, and we weren't aware of it. Again, it's an issue of listening, I think. And so what happened was we took her to the doctor to find out why she was having the breathing issues, found out that through our years overseas, there was some lung damage that had occurred, and that she wasn't going to be able to live at the altitude of Denver, Colorado. And so all of a sudden there's this hitch in this plan that we have cooked up for God. And I say that very intentionally. I'm pretty sure that we're the ones that put together the plan for him, as opposed to him putting together the plan for us, which was the issue. And,
okay,
so,
let's back up from that for a second.
Okay.
When you say put together a plan, I know a little bit of the backstory because you're my dad and we've talked through some of this, but in general, someone who's listening is going to go, what does he mean by that? Like, what plans were being made, by whom, where, from what motivation? Like,
yeah.
all of those questions, like, okay, you formed a plan for my life. Now I can understand I made a plan, but what most of us, when we make plans, we're running from something or we're trying to run towards something, that we think is important or that for whatever reason is consuming us at that moment. Sometimes it's not important.
Right.
So let's, can you kind of get us in on that conversation?
Yeah. I mean, we had, we were in a transition from being missionaries to owning a business. And because we were helping these churches in Colorado, we assumed that that's where God wanted us to open the business. And let me say, the we is really me. I didn't ask, Lord, where do you want me to open the business? And so
you just said I'm doing this consulting with these churches, I'm doing consulting work with them, so I'll just do it here.
I pretty much was just an assumption rather than, okay, God, what do you actually want? And so God has a way of changing things so that you figure out where he's going with stuff. And I think that's exactly what was happening. We just assumed that we would be in Colorado. And then when Diane couldn't breathe, we had to make a very uncomfortable phone call to the company that we were buying the franchise from and say, look, we can't live in Colorado. I'm assuming then that our plan has ended. And they said, oh no, the plan is that you will, we have a location that we're going to put in Pearland. And I asked the question, where is Pearland? And they said, well, that's a suburb of Houston, Texas. Now you have to understand, we're living in Denver. There's no humidity. there's incredible scenery. In Houston, all I could think about was the traffic and the heat. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to pray about that. I'm going to get back to you on that. So Diane and I, went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, is this what you have? And we very quickly confirmed this is what he had in mind all along. So we said, okay, I guess we're moving. And we moved to Houston. Now, this is still in that 4 or 5 year transition between mission and business ownership. And I'm still questioning, how is this ministry and how am I supposed to plug in? And what do I do with this call I have on my life, or this urgency in my heart to serve God? How does this work? And so we did move. We came to Houston, came to find out it's not a bad place at all. I haven't had to shovel snow once since I've been in Houston, which is
I was gonna say for the record, it's also never freezing.
Well, I won't say never, but very seldom.
Yeah. Well, comparatively,
Yeah. So palm trees and warm breezes are the case here. So we got the business open in February of 2015, and learning as I'm going. I've never owned a business, so there's a learning curve that's, for my mind, pretty steep. And I'm still trying to figure out, I'm 2 months in, 3 months in, 5 months in, 6 months in, trying to figure out what is going on. And then something happened that kind of one of those light bulb moments, Todd, you know what I'm talking about? When it's an aha, all of a sudden moment where you go, oh, okay, I get it. And someone came in that said they were working with a crisis center nearby for women who were being trafficked, coming through Houston, being trafficked. And instantly I remembered a friend of mine, Daryl McLern, who's a great guy who works with house churches out in Arizona now. He had been working with house churches up in the North Texas Metroplex area, Dallas Metroplex area. And I had kind of bumped into him, and we got to be friends. And he was also working with a task force for the state of Texas on human trafficking in the state, trying to stop human trafficking in the state of Texas. And found out through him that the number one city for human trafficking in America at the time, and this was about 5 years ago, I don't know if it's still accurate, but it's probably pretty close, the number one city for human trafficking in America is Houston, Texas. And I was talking with my customer, who happened to be in law enforcement and knew a great deal about this, and said that, yeah, and the highest area of Houston for human trafficking is Interstate 45 from downtown Houston out toward Galveston. Well, my shop is literally a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half from that very space. And at that moment, a light went on, something clicked, and I realized this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
God wants me to make a difference in this fight against human trafficking. And all of a sudden, to me, the mission of God is put front and center again. The business, the relocation, the effort that I put forth on a daily basis has got to be focused on that issue. And it's one of those aha moments that kind of puts life in perspective. You know, we've been blessed. We haven't had major health issues in our family, and we haven't had these kind of crises in our family. And it's just you feel blessed, but you're blessed. One of my friends, a fellow missionary, used to say, "We're blessed to be a blessing," and that's true, I think. And here we are now in Houston, Texas, with a business about a mile from the ground zero, if you will, of human trafficking in the United States of America. And I could not have, picked a more relevant location for doing ministry if I had tried. But God knew it all along.
Yeah. So now all of the sudden, when this light bulb goes on, you're like, yeah, I have this business. But the business is serving the larger mission.
Yes.
And I'm able to serve the larger mission through caring for my employees and my customers, but also blur the lines between my passion, like my real world ministry passion to end human trafficking, and I'm in the epicenter of where it's happening in the United States.
Yeah. And blur the lines. That is a great phrase. That's exactly what happened. I mean, I tend to compartmentalize things. This is home. This is work. This is ministry. This is church. I have these compartments, and I try to and I try to keep my life in these compartments. And God, I think, doesn't. He's, I don't know if messier is the right way, but certainly blurs the lines. It's a great, great phrase there. So as a result of that, I'm starting to seek out ways that I can be a part of ending human trafficking, or at least making some effect on it. And as soon as that happened, things start happening to further blow the lines. I get an email from a pastor that I've never met in my life. And he invites me to a prayer luncheon, which is entitled God in the Marketplace. And the prayer luncheon is a group of business people that meet and pray together and talk together once a week. That was the beginning. And I began to realize that I'm not alone, that there are a lot of business people seeking out the mission of God. And out of that came a connection to a lady who is starting up a not-for-profit business ministry, I'll rephrase that, called Life Skills. And we began to talk and began to connect and began to understand that our focus was on the same thing. When women are trafficked, you know, their life is destroyed oftentimes before they ever get to maturity to learn, how to live, as an adult in this world. And so when they are rescued out of this life, they go to a crisis center that just is a safe place for them. Someplace that is secret, is guarded. Those predators who have trafficked her, can't find her. And so it's a safe zone. But from that safe zone to get into a productive adult life, there's this huge gap. Many of these ladies don't know how to read or write. They don't know how to balance a checkbook or what a budget is. They've never had income of their own. They don't know how to handle that. They don't know how to do basic things like rent an apartment or buy a car or fill out an application for a job or do an interview for a job or even what they may be skilled at doing in the workforce. Life Skills is that it fills that gap of taking them from this crisis center where they are safe and moving them to another place to live that is also safe, but through a 2-year process teaches them all of these skills. And you know, just what I said, reading and writing, if they don't know how, you know, how to balance a checkbook, how to do a budget, how to open a bank account, et cetera, et cetera. And so
here then you're personally getting involved. Did you also get the business involved?
Yeah. I mean, what we have agreed in the personal involvement, yes. Diane and I have talked with the lady that's running this, and she's asked us to help teach some of these skills as well as be on the board of directors. But additionally, corporately, we've agreed that my business, Christian Brothers Automotive, my particular location, will be a corporate sponsor for Life Skills. So we will, you know, donate a certain amount of our proceeds to Life Skills. We will, you know, promote Life Skills as an organization that's worthy of donation. You know, be there to help them. One of the things that Christian Brothers does as a company is once a year we offer single moms and people, older ladies or whatever, who can't do any maintenance to the car, can't afford it basically. We do free oil changes. We do a national service day where we help people.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, this dovetails into Life Skills and helping these ladies, you know, move out of a tragic circumstance to build a life outside, you know, in society and in, you know, become productive people in the workforce and so forth.
So fascinating that in your exploration of business, where you don't know, or you at that time you don't know what owning a business is like, first of all, because you've never owned one, launching one from scratch, which you've never done that either, but you transition into this because you feel like that's what God is asking you to do. And then all of a sudden, the things that you thought you were losing in your identity, in mission work, in kind of from your past, all of those get restored and clarified in the process.
Definitely restored and clarified in a way that is much sharper focus than anything I've ever had in my life before. And I think that, you know, the lesson that God is teaching me is that if I will be quiet and listen for a while and be willing, that He will open doors for ministry wherever I am. And whatever I'm doing.
Okay. So let's briefly just open that box up for a second. For somebody that's listening in, they're hearing this conversation, they're like, that's fantastic. I'm so glad for you, Terry, that God speaks to you. I don't even know how to listen to God. I don't even know where to start. Like, I'm barely just making it through my day. Like, when I get home, I mean, I'm happy that I have a family. Like, that's as much as I got. So for that person who's maybe like trying to understand, hey, what am I supposed to be doing here? Because for you, we talk about this from, if you listen to Lisa, a friend of the show, Lisa McClanahan that jumps on, we talk about this in terms of you had an encounter that exposed the new truth about who you were, about the way the world is, about who God is. Then you were able to experience that reality, which then you chose to engage with the conversation of the Holy Spirit. Hey, God, what do you want me to do about this? And ultimately express what we call God's kingdom through jumping involved with this other organization, Life Skills, through how you operate your business, through how you care for customers. So talk to our listeners for a second. Like, what does it look like to listen to God's voice or presence or spirit? Like, how do you seek that in the midst of this? Because I think there are people that are asking that question that don't really understand how to go about that? Like, is it just, do I read the scripture and just wait, you know, for an enlightened moment? Do I talk to a pastor who somehow figured things out? By the way, we haven't figured it all out. So I'd be happy to talk with you, but I do not have all the answers for you.
I think that's a great question. I think, you know, in my youth, I was looking for some sort of a mystical experience that would say, you know, here it is, let me lay it out for you. I don't think that that's certainly not been my experience. In this particular instance, and in other instances in my life, God has kind of spoken to me little bitty bits and pieces. And usually, you know, they are stuff that happens around me. And I'll go, oh, okay, that's interesting. What do I do with that? And the answer to that question, what I do with that thing, doesn't come for a little while. And so I think what's been my experience is that God, if, first of all, I guess I have to say, okay, listen, you know, God, whatever you want, you know, I'm okay with that. I think, first of all, there's this willingness to say, yeah, God, I do want to serve you and I do want to help people. And I don't know what that looked like.
Yeah, so let's just call that, that prayer is a posture. It's a prayer posture. It's saying, okay, God, if you want me to do something, I'm willing. I'm available. I'm open.
Right, and I think that's the number one thing that has to happen. Now, does that mean that he's going to, you know, mystically appear in a cloud and tell me? No, that's not been my experience. Once that posture, I like that, you know, is there, I think he uses circumstances, he uses events or people to speak this bit of truth or that bit of truth, and it's like stair steps. You have this idea that he might want to take you somewhere, and you step up on the first step and say, wow, this is cool, is this where I'm supposed to be? And then he says, no, there's another step. And eventually, you know, you figure out that you're headed somewhere on this, in these steps. I don't know what that's going to end up looking like. I don't know what the second floor looks like, but I feel like that's where I'm, you know, headed. And I think that God is sort of pointing, you're going this way. And the next step is this. And I don't know the second step. I only know the one right in front of me.
Yeah.
And so I think the posture is just saying, okay, what's that step? Let me take that step. Okay,
so,
here I am on this step. Now what's the next one?
So for many, like I think for most people, if they're anything like me in terms of that, like they want the finished product. Right.
Yeah.
Like I want to know now. But you're saying it's more like an unfolding process that I see what's underneath this layer only once I've taken this layer. And like, if you were unpacking a suitcase and you take a shirt out and you put it on, it's only after you've put that shirt on and you've taken it out of the suitcase that you see the shirt that's underneath it.
Right. And I think that's a good analogy.
So in this process, you're praying, which is like a posture, but you're also listening and feeling your circumstances and situations that develop and people that come into the like for instance, this officer that came in and told you about human trafficking and kind of ignited a passion that you've had, that you've seen firsthand worldwide in your mission work. You've seen some of the detriment on very real, like real interactions, reignites that passion. And then you have someone approach you that's making a difference in that world. In other words, it wasn't like, I'm going to go figure this out. I'm going to go overturn every rock. It was, I'm going to keep doing what I know to do now. And God brought those opportunities, brought those moments, and presented them to kind of say, man, it's your choice. You want to get involved in this?
Well, I don't think it was my choice. I think it was, like you said, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, what I know to do now. And God brought somebody in, and then there was an aha moment. I think every step in the journey is another aha moment. But I think the key is being willing to be surprised by God.
Okay.
And I think that's the posture that I have to take. Am I willing for God to surprise me with the next step?
Yeah. So in this kind of unfolding process, it's like, you know, you have this ingredient and you know, you have that ingredient, and you get told to start stirring, but you still don't know what you're making yet.
Yeah.
And then the aha moment is you taste it and you're making chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good.
or whatever, but that's kind of the aha moment is, ooh, I've tasted a bit of what these ingredients create, and it's good.
Yeah. I think every step along the journey, it is a stage of life. It's a location. It's a relationship. It's not an arrival, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And it's a journey that I get to go with God where He's going, and get to participate, you know, both hands, both feet, jump in and participate in His mission and His direction in this world. And that's the fulfilling part of it, is that God, for whatever reason, has said, I'm going to work through human beings, and I'm going to work through you. I'm cool with that. I like it. And I think that if we get into that posture that you talked about of saying, okay, you know, show me what you want. I think you will. It will be something you are not expecting most of the time. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. And so you may not know why that person entered your life. You may not know why all of a sudden something piqued your curiosity. You may not have the full picture, but you have that step, you have that ingredient. And when your posture is asking God's Spirit, hey, this thing, what do you want me to do with this? When it's there, then the process itself will show you the next steps. And so where did you go for guidance in that?
Wow. You know, I went to the scripture. You know, I read the Bible every day, so I'm listening, you know, in my head, what are you trying to say to me today? I also, you know, talk to counselors, talk to people that I know and trust. Daryl McLern, I mentioned him earlier. This pastor that started this marketplace, Rick Torrenson is his name. You know, definitely with Diane, with my wife, we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what's God doing in our lives. But ultimately it becomes evident, I guess. There is a divine, I guess, mystical part of it that God just starts something and all of a sudden you realize when you're in the middle of it, oh, wow, this is a God thing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even aware of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think there's a line in the scripture where surely this place is holy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
Surely God's presence was here, and I'm just now being awakened to it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about an aha moment, it's this realization that, oh, yeah, of course this is where it was headed.
It's so obvious.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
And, you know, and I don't want to diminish the fact that corporate worship has played a big part in that. I think that in a corporate worship setting, I quiet myself and focus more on God and what he's doing. And I think when I do that, I think that he's always speaking, but I think that I'm not always listening. And when I quiet myself and focus a little bit better, I hear a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay, so on the flip side of that, because I know you and because I know me, and because I think we need to be just real with people in this scenario, in that transition, in the identity change in terms of from career missionary to business owner, where you see yourself a different way, and you see God's mission working a different way, and you're kind of like, for our sake, I'll say you're evolving, like it's changing into something. I know there had to be moments where the aha moments like weren't there yet, and it was just immensely frustrating,
mm-hmm.
and scary.
Yeah, and I think self-questioning, self-doubt, all of those things are entering in. Into your life at that moment when you're trying to say, you know, I don't know where you're going, God, and I'm not sure why you're going where you're going. I don't, you know, and you, at least for me, I'm asking myself, okay, did I go the right place? Is Houston where I'm supposed to be? Is a business what I'm supposed to do? Why am I doing this? There were a lot of days. There still are days when I go, this doesn't seem, you know.
Yeah, maybe we need to not do that.
Maybe not. Yeah. You know, and I'd love to tell you that I'll come back on the show in about, you know, 6 months and say, oh, yeah, well, we figured it out. We're all, but, you know, my experience is that I may have figured out one more step in the journey, but I think the journey is a long-term thing.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's a great place for us to end, because there you have it, friends. This whole thing is an unfolding journey. You can listen and hear God's presence and spirit. It starts with a posture of willingness and then includes all of kind of the mystical and practical things of getting together with people that are also trying to listen to God, of praying, of reading the scriptures, but of seeking out wise counsel and reflection on who God has made you to be and what God's Spirit is doing from within you and what opportunities are presenting themselves. And as it unfolds, those ingredients come together to make something. Those stairs lead to another place where there might be more stairs, but it's a different vantage point. And so in this journey, we get to blur the lines of what we do for whatever, you know, whatever money we need to make or whatever job we have or whatever, you know, whatever our relationships are. And then we get to blur the lines between that and doing mission, doing God's work, doing life with people on this earth.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, much love, my friends, and may you come to hear God's still small voice and have a posture of willingness. Much love.